Secrets of the Chocolate Girls by Annie Murray. Read by Annie Aldington. Part 1. September to October 1940. Chapter 1.
Ouch! Blast it!
Anne Gilby straightened up, sucking her bleeding finger, in the middle of pinning the remains of an old sheet on as a fresh cover for the ironing board. To her annoyance, a couple of pinpricks of blood spotted the white. Wrapping her finger in a frayed ribbon of the leftover cloth, she folded down the wooden board.
This is just one of those flaming days.
She leaned the board against the wall, instead of putting it away. The wash, hanging outside on the line in the late summer breeze, would soon be dry, and she could get most of the ironing done today if she got on with it. At least it wasn't raining. That was the one thing that hadn't gone wrong today. That morning, she'd hurried along to the shops with their ration books, only to find, after queuing for nearly an hour, that there was only a scrap of bacon ration left. That would have to be Len's. The rest of them would make do with bread dipped in the fat. And all the butter had gone. At least margarine was off the ration. While she waited, two women behind her were rattling on in low voices about the raids. It had started last month. Raids every few days, and no one knew where or when they would be. They'd already caused so much damage. The market hall in town was burned out, and they were bombing the hell out of London now. Everyone was living on their nerves. All summer, people had been saying, "There'll be Germans marching along the street soon." Anne closed her eyes for a moment, queasy. She was tempted to turn round and give them a piece of her mind. Oh, Lord. If only they'd stop keeping on. Careless talk, that was what those posters said. And even if it didn't cost lives, it certainly frayed her nerves.
Mrs. Terry at number 8 said she was sure there was someone in her garden last night. She heard this funny noise, but when they went out...
Anne opened her eyes and counted how many people were in front of her in the queue. Do this bit of shopping, get home, do the washing, keep busy. When she'd eventually got the water heated for the wash, she found less than a handful of sylvan flakes at the bottom of the packet. After dashing out to get some more and reaching home in Beaumont Road for the second time, she realised they were almost out of Isle, and Len wouldn't half create if they started having to cut up newspaper for the lavatory. The whole morning had gone with her hurtling up and down the road to Bourneville Village to the shops and then racing to get the washing out. And even with all this going on, she still could not distract her thoughts. It was the war, stirring everything up again. Today she would not be able to hold back from going upstairs to the bedroom, going to her drawer and reaching inside to look. To look back. To feel. However much she wanted to stop herself. She hadn't made the bed yet, her mind reasoned. That was an excuse to go up, and at this rate she wouldn't get the ironing done before tea. With her eldest, Sheila, living back at home now, her husband Kenneth was in the RAF, Anne had taken on all her washing again, and the babies.
"Why don't you get her doing her own washing?" her friend Hilda asked, after Sheila arrived home again with only a suitcase and Elaine in her arms. "'Stead of waiting on her like that. Hardly know she's born, that one." "Oh, I don't know," Anne said. She knew Hilda thought she had not prepared Sheila for life properly, though God knew she'd had some hard knocks lately. "I suppose it's easier than having her fluffing around in my kitchen. You know Sheila makes such heavy weather of everything."
"Only yourself to blame then, Annie."
Good old Hilda. You always knew you'd get a straight opinion from her and no flannel. Anne smiled as her feet took her upstairs, pretending to herself that all she was doing was bed-making. Anne and Hilda had been friends for years, ever since they started together at Cadbury's when they were 14. They'd worked side by side in their white overalls and caps in the filling room, over trays of chocolate shells. And since they'd left work, many cups of tea had been drunk together while looking after small children, and as they all grew up. There was nothing she couldn't say to Hilda. Well, almost nothing. And now, with the war on and men going off to the forces, Hilda was back working at Cadbury's, so she saw less of her these days anyway. On the landing, she looked in through the open bedroom doors.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?